This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Eighth night of Ramadan. Now, some scholars, not the majority of them don't, see this night to be the first night of the last 10 nights. However, the more prominent opinion is for sure that's tomorrow, it's the 21st, because the way it works is that the month is into three tens. So the beginning doesn't start with the night zero, it starts with night 1 to 10, right? 11 to 20, and then 21 to 30. But some scholars see this night as being the beginning. The Hanafis go back actually to the 17th night, to the 19th night. They actually pull it back even a little bit more. And there's different opinions across the board within the madhahib and within the opinions of scholars regarding what we don't have the thing up. Is Fayed gone or is he still here? Yeah, maybe someone call him so we can put up the... I can't really figure out. Yeah. So, Allahu A'lam, tonight's the last night of the second third of Ramadan, and tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, we begin the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And as I promised you, the cascade, you know, began a week ago. it just really quickly, it goes through, and we don't even feel how Ramadan ends up ending. And you don't know if we'll see another one, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to live many Ramadans, one after the other, and He grant us the ajr of that. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we will continue within Surah Al-Ankabut. We have maybe a little bit left of it, maybe three pages or so. It'll be recited a little bit in Isha, and then at the beginning of the Taraweeh, it'll be done. And then we'll go through Ankabut, we'll go through Ar-Rum, we'll go through Luqman, we'll go through As-Sajda, and then we'll go through a portion of Surah Al-Ahzab. So, the cluster that I had started talking about yesterday, the fifth cluster of surahs in the Quran, and these are all within the slides. You can always read like these summaries. I have them in the slides for you to read and kind of reflect upon if you want to. From Al-Ankabut, from Al-Qasas, forgive me, until Al-Sajda. These surahs, Al-Qasas, Al-Ankabut, Al-Rum, Al-Luqman, Al-Sajda, these five surahs, they talk about relationships, the different relationships that we have within our existence, within our lives. And Surah Al-Qasas talked about the relationships we have with people and their stories. Surah Al-Ankabut looked at the relationship we have with difficulties in life, or with life itself, with everything that it offers. It offers ease, it offers difficulty. Just this is an ongoing relationship that you have with life, and you have to learn to master that and learn how to deal with it appropriately, to strive and to persevere, and etc. Surah Al-Rum talks about our relationship with the Sunan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His ayat. This is not specifically what happens to us in our lives, which is how what Al-Ankabut looks like, it looks at. What happens to us in our lives, yani the khayr and the shar, the dur and the naf'a that comes to us, that's what Al-Ankabut looks at. Al-Rum looks at our relationship with the laws of this universe. What laws? The laws of haqq, the laws of change, now the laws of power, the laws of wealth, the laws that govern communities, the laws. There's a law in this world that if you are united and just, you'll be strong. That's a law. That if you lack unity and you lack justice, you'll be weak and you will lose and you will not prevail and you'll have no success. That's a law. That's His law, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we sit around and wonder, why isn't things better? When is this going to end? Well, that the ball's in your court. And the answer is that the ball is in our court. You want to end this to end? Well, follow His laws. And he used the sunan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dictate that in order for a civilization or a nation to be successful or prosperous, it needs certain things. It has to have unity, and it has to have power, and it has to have knowledge, it has to have wealth. That's Allah's sunan. It has to live in a place that has resources. These are the laws of Allah. That's what Surah Al-Ankabut talks about, Surah Al-Rum talks about. Our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's governance laws, how the world works. How the world works. We have to know how the world works, and we have to work within the limitations of how the world actually works. We can't swim against the tide at all times. We can't work against the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put within this world and expect things to work out differently for us. That He's going to break all of the laws and the rules. He won't, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He actually demands that we live according to those rules, according to those laws. That's what He demands, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what you'll find all throughout Surah Al-Rum. Allahu alladhi, Allahu alladhi, Allahu yabda'u al-khalqa. You'll find all these verses that start with Allah does this. Allah creates this. Allah, this is what He did. So you understand what He did. Live by it. Allahu alladhi khalaqakum. I'll give an example. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about it. Maybe not. Min da'fin, thumma ja'ala min ba'di da'fin quwwa, thumma ja'ala min ba'di quwwatin da'fan wa shayba. He created you from weakness, and then you'll become strong, and then there'll be weakness again. That's the law. If you're going to wait to be a good Muslim until you're in the weak state, then it's not going to work. The ummah is going to fail. Because the law is, your strength is in the middle. Now, you're strong now. You're strong now. You were weak before. You're going to be weak later. You're strong now. So now, you're going to use that strength for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you decide to postpone it until you're weak again, then you worked against the laws. And the outcome won't be as good. The outcome won't be as good because you didn't use the laws. You come to me in your 30s, you want to memorize the Quran. It's not wrong, but it's going to be way more difficult than if you listened to me when you were 13. When you were that young and you listened and you did it then, it would be much easier. You can still do it, but it's much more difficult. You want to learn Islam, 40s versus 20s, not the same thing. Doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means not the same thing. Because these are the laws. These are the laws he's talking about, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Rum. Our relationship with those laws. The fact that we have to respect them. We have to work within their limits so that we can achieve the goals that we want to achieve. And that's what Surah Al-Rum basically talks about. And it begins by telling us the story of how Al-Rum were beaten and how they won again. And how that, what that meant to us. And how we celebrate that, the Muslims celebrated that. And if the ayah comes up, I'll explain it. Surah Luqman looks at the relationship between generations. The relationship of one generation with the coming generation. And it summarizes that with the relationship of Luqman al-Hakim with his son. And the advice that he offers his son. And the commentary of that part of the surah details that a little bit more. The relationship that we have cross-generational. It's very important. If we don't have an appropriate, if we don't understand what that means, like if we don't capitalize on these cross-generational relationships, then there's a lot that we lose. There's a lot that we miss out on. Because the generation before you, they did well, they did good things and bad things. Certain aspects of their lives went really well, and others didn't. Before you go and you start fighting with the world, maybe take a moment and listen. See what it is that they have to offer you. Benefit from them. And if you do that, they may benefit from you. And the benefit becomes mutual. And that relationship is important because, you know, the struggle of power between the old and the young doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Now, you don't always have to have presidents in their 70s. You don't always have to have people who are extremely old running things. You can have younger people. But that requires a proper relationship between someone who is young and someone who is old. You have to have the older generation feeling the respect. And the younger generation has to receive the proper coaching and advice and empowerment. They have to be trained. They have to be trained with the presence of the people who have done this before, who have experience. And that relationship has to exist for a while in order for us to have something that's valuable at the end. The Prophet ﷺ was a master of the trade. He was a master of the craft, ﷺ. He knew how to do this flawlessly. He did this with effortlessly. Honestly, effortlessly he did this, ﷺ. It's one of the aspects of his character that I'm taken by all the time. It's like wherever I read, I see it. I see how good he was at it. At making sure that he made everyone feel that they were significant, that they were valuable. Especially the younger generation, that they were taken care of, that they were heard, that they had any potential, that they were going to be something in the future where he put them in positions. He would watch them, he'd bring them back, give them feedback, teach them again, give them another shot. Like he did this all throughout his life. It's like in the midst of everything that he's doing, he just did this as well. Just like the underlying theme of his existence, which is very hard. Like you have to be trained to do this. You have to go through ongoing this academic studying and to learn how to work with youth. He did it, alayhi salatu wasalam, as a side gig. Just on the side, he did it, alayhi salatu wasalam. People didn't even notice he was doing it. As he ran the nation and educated and taught Islam and followed the rules, he was empowering a whole another generation of people that grew up loving him. And when he passed away, they couldn't accept life without him. And then the only thing they could do was go and spread his legacy, alayhi salatu wasalam, which is why we are here today. It's what he did for them, alayhi salatu wasalam. That's not easy. When you look at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Abdullah ibn Umar and Abdullah ibn Amr, right? And Usama ibn Zayd. You take these names and you study, you look at these individuals that the reason that we sit here today. And Anas ibn Malik. And Anas ibn Malik continued to teach Islam until into his late 90s. There's a narration that Abu Hanifa met him. There's a narration that Abu Hanifa lived, Anas lived long enough that Abu Hanifa sat in his halaqa one day. Abu Hanifa actually heard from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam student, Anas ibn Malik. Anas was a kid, was a 10-year-old running around in his house, alayhi salatu wasalam. But he empowered and he taught and he educated, so this man grew to become someone who dedicated his entire life to spreading his legacy. And that's what Surah Luqman teaches. It's a beautiful, beautiful surah, and it's not very long. Surah Sajda talks about the final relationship, the relationship we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like any relationship, relationships can, yani, all relationships can become, for the lack of a better word, maybe a little bit boring. Relationships can become boring after a while. Routine can enter them. They become not as fulfilling. If you have a friend, you've talked about literally everything. If you're married, after a couple of years of marriage, you stare at each other and there's not much left to say. You've said everything. You've talked about everything multiple times. So you just kind of sit there in silence, which is not the worst thing. I mean, silence is underrated in my opinion in general. But sometimes relationships, you can have a little bit of, it can be put into a situation where it's not as fulfilling as it was, not as exciting as it was. And that's the case for every relationship you have in this life. And your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no different. If you do not take the effort, put the effort in, or take the time to ignite the relationship you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will also become boring. And you'll stand there. Allah. The whole thing is just, someone watching you pray, like this poor person is just, this must be torture. This person looks extremely bored out of their mind, extremely upset that they have to do this, but they're doing it. That's not the Surah Sajda, tatajafa junubuhum anil madaja. Their sides can't stay still in bed at night. They want to stand in prayer. Like tatajafa junubuhum their sides. Tatajafa means they keep on moving. They keep on trying to get up. It's like they're sleeping, but they can't sleep. What they want to do is they want to stand up and takabbur and be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. And they supplicate their Lord with desire and with fear. That's how they feel. That's how a Muslim's heart should feel. But to ignite that relationship requires work. It doesn't happen on its own. That's what Surah Al-Sajda talks about. That this relationship is important. Invest in it as well. It's not going to continuously be exciting if you don't take care of it. If you don't feed it and nurture it and make sure that it can become boring too. So it's no different than any other relationship. And it's the last one in this beautiful cluster that talks about relationships. And it's the most important relationship of all. And that's why we recite Surah Al-Sajda every Friday in Fajr, right? The first rak'ah has to be Surah Al-Sajda. And there has to be the Sajda in it. You have to go down. You pray Jumu'ah and you pray Fajr. On the day of Jumu'ah, then I can bet good money that the Imam is going to read from Surah Al-Sajda, and somewhere in it he's going to innama yu'minu bi ayatina and then make sujood. Because it's every morning for that reason, to remind you the importance of the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day of Jumu'ah is very ritualistic. Everything around it is very, there's all these sunan that are attached to the day of Friday because of its importance. The cluster, the sixth cluster of surahs in the Quran that starts with Surah Al-Ahzab, we're only going to read a few pages of it. This is a long cluster. I spent the last two years almost, since we opened this center, doing tafsir of this cluster in Arabic on Fridays. We started Surah Al-Ahzab, and we just finished this cluster literally the weekend before Ramadan. And we entered Surah Al-Zumar. So it's from Surah Al-Ahzab to Surah Al-Zumar. And when it talks about the concept of ta'a, of commitment or obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to talk about it in detail tomorrow because we're going to be in that cluster for a few nights. So I'll leave it at that because we're only going to read a few verses of it. But Surah Al-Ahzab talks about obedience when it's difficult. It talks about submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it's hard, when it's hard. Whether the difficulty is physical, whether it's financial, whether it's social, whether it's reputational, whether it's psychological. This sort of goes, it's the longest one in the group, and it goes through all these different scenarios, and we'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. All right, that's, very, no voting today at all. Four is the most, so I'm going to ignore all of you and just do whatever I want. So let's do 51 of Al-Ankabut. Try and get one for each surah, inshallah.
أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِهِمْ أَنَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَرَحْمَةً وَذِكْرَى لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ
بَلَى. The answer is بَلَى. His question, subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end of Surah Al-Ankabut, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِهِمْ. When they were... The ayah before it, people are asking, why doesn't he have physical miracles like all the prophets before him? That's what we know. We know that Musa had a staff and Isa alayhi salam performed multiple different types of miracles, and Salih brought out the she-camel, and everyone had something. Where is yours, Ya Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? For the answer was, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِهِمْ. Is it not enough for them? أَنَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ, that we descended upon you the book, يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ, to be recited upon them. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ, indeed within that, فِي ذَلِكَ لَرَحْمَةً وَذِكْرَى لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ, indeed you will find within these recited verses, you will find compassion and mercy, and you will find remembrances that are valuable for people who have faith and have belief. The answer is yes, it's enough, Ya Rabb. The question is it not enough that we sent you this? And the answer is yes, it is. The Quran kafi, Quran is more than enough. If we needed more, he would have given us more, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never gives us less than what we need. He would never, subhanahu wa ta'ala, offer you a door to guidance and then not equip you with the tools that you need to get through the door and actually hold yourself to the path. Never. He gave the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam the Quran and nothing more than the Quran, because it's more than enough. Because it's the kifaya. It's all that you require. You don't need more. You have all that you need within that book, and it's always available. So all you have to do is just pull it off the shelf and start reading and learn, and then commit yourself to exactly what it is that he's saying here, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This idea, and the reason I love this verse is because we have this, there's a part of us that makes us feel, or the way it comes off is as if we wanted something more. So we look for other stuff. Like we try to say, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the moon. No one saw the moon. All right? Very few people saw the whole moon thing. Very few. It didn't happen more than, if we accept that it happened once and didn't happen again. Musa alayhi salam threw his staff like multiple times. Every time someone wanted to see it, he showed. No problem. Isa alayhi salam, the same thing. This moon thing with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, if it happened, it was once. Only Ibn Mas'ud tells us about it. Only one Sahabi actually witnesses to tell us about it. اِخْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ, the ayah has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. That's talking about Yawm al-Qiyamah. It has nothing to do with that. This need on the inside that he had miracles, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he put his hand in the food. This is his barakah, alayhi salatu wasalam. There's more food than there's supposed to be. Yes, these things happen. And that's the barakah of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, and signs of his prophecy. But they were not miracles. He never challenged people with them. He never came out and said, this is what. No. He never did that, alayhi salam. The only thing he challenged with was the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He challenged everyone with it. Here. قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِكِتَابٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَهْدَى مِنْهُمَا فَلْيَأْتُوا بِحَدِيثٍ مِثْلِهِ فَلْيَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُورٍ مِثْلِهِ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّنْ مِثْلِهِ. Just bring something. Go ahead. Do anything. Nothing. They could, Arab were not able, they weren't able to. They didn't know what it was. It was beyond. It was out of their league. It was out of their league, so they couldn't do anything with it. So, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِهِمْ? The answer is yes, يَكْفِهِمْ. It's more than enough. We were given all that we need to find our way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right. Ar-Rum 22.
وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْعَالَمِينَ عَالِمِينَ.
Yes. The common mistake of this verse, but that's okay. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So in Surah Al-Rum, as I explained to you, it talks about the relationship we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws, with his signs, with what he put here. So he starts in these verses, he counts all of these signs, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of these verses are recited at weddings a lot. It's the only verse that is recited at any wedding. Go to any wedding. All, 100 billion weddings have happened for Muslims. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجٍ. It's the only verse that they recite in every wedding. There's many other verses that talk about this, but that's the one that always comes up. Right after, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And from his signs, subhanahu wa ta'ala, amongst the laws that he put here, the sunan that he has, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creation of the cosmos and the earth. وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. And the difference in your tongues, in your dialect, and in your أَلْوَانِكُمْ, your colors, what he means by your races. He means by that races. The word lone doesn't mean in Arabic actually a color. It is used as a parallel to describe different colors. But lone means different species or different types. That's what lone actually means. So أَلْوَانِكُمْ is you have different cultures and different backgrounds and different races. So amongst his signs, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the creation of the cosmos and the earth. And the diversity of your dialects, of your tongues, and the diversity of your races and your cultures and your backgrounds. It's amongst his signs, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's something to be celebrated. It's something to be looked at and said, subhanallah, when you see it. Just like when you look at this cosmos and you look at the earth and you say, Jalla Jalalullah, تقدس الله, the beauty of everything he made. When you look at people and you find and you hear their different tongues and you see their races and their cultures and the differences of who they are, you say the same thing. Subhanallah, Jalla Jalalullah. The beauty of what he made, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam was never designed to come and erase culture or cultural identities. That's not what Islam is here to do. Islam is not here to Arabize people. No, that's not the goal of Islam at all. Not at all. The Quran does not want that. The Quran celebrates people's backgrounds and their cultures and their identities. It comes in, it points out the good and the bad. It says, within your culture, take a look. What is good? Emphasize. What is not good? Remove. And hold on to who you are. And hold on to your tongue. Just learn the tongue of the Quran so you can understand it. The world today, I sit here and I speak English to you. You know how weird that is to me. You have no idea how weird this is to me. Wallahi, no one understands. Everyone thinks it's fine. It's very weird that I sit here and I speak English. Everyone who knows me back home, they look, what are you doing? Wallahi, why? What do you mean why? Why are you speaking English? Because that's what people speak. Yeah, but the Quran is in Arabic. That's how you learn your deen. Well, how is it? It's very weird. When I first came here, it took me a year and a half to figure out the terminology. The nomenclature of Islam is very difficult. I had never done that before. I never studied any Islamic discipline. People ask me this question all the time. Can you recommend? They say the word recommend and I say no. Before they can finish their sentence. Because they're going to ask me to recommend a book in English. About, so I don't know. I have no clue. I have read zero books about Islam in English. Zero. None. That's not how we learned it. It's very awkward when you sit on the minbar. So this is a true story. 2 years ago, less than 2 years ago, my teacher, somehow, I don't share anything with him for different reasons, but he somehow found this page and he found the khutbah. So he took it and he shared it with some of our more senior teachers. And the comments. Yeah, it was just a bloodbath. I was ripped to shreds, mostly because they could not comprehend. What are you doing? You're speaking in English on the minbar of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. They could not wrap their heads around it. They were fine for the first couple of minutes when it was the Alhamdulillahi na'maduhu wa nasta'inu. But right after the verse was done, yeah, they weren't happy anymore. And I got bombarded by, it's difficult. People don't accept that. Islam is not here to erase your tongue or erase your culture. But learn Arabic for the Quran's sake so you can understand what it's saying. So that you don't need someone, you don't need a middle person to explain to you what the Book of Allah is saying, so you have access to that. But amongst the signs is the diversity of your tongues, your dialects, and your cultures and races. That's amongst his signs. There's nothing negative about it, it's only positive. It's only something that we look and say, Subhanallah. That's why an Eid, I love it. When we do Eid outside and everyone comes in with their cultural garments, what they wear. The cultural stuff. الفلسطينيين والسودانيين والليبيين وال يعني الإخوة الباكستانيين and الهنود. Everyone, they come, they're dressed in what they would dress. It's beautiful. That diversity is beautiful. And the way that they celebrate Eid, the diversity of that and the norms that they have. These are beautiful things. Islam is just interested in taking a look at them and making sure that if there's something harmful or haram, you remove it and keep all the good stuff. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ. Indeed, within that, لَآيَاتٍ, there are signs لِلْعَالِمِينَ. Al-alim. Al-alim is a scholar or a scientist. Alimin is the plural. Some recitations say alimin, so for people, for in general. But ours, lil-alimin, to people who are knowledgeable. To people who are knowledgeable. All right. Let's do, it got zero votes, so we're going to do it just out of spite. So a room 50. It got zero. No one put anything for this one. Yeah.
انظر إلى آثار رحمة الله كيف يحيي الأرض بعد موتها إن ذلك لمحيي الموتى وهو على كل شيء قدير.
The beautiful ayah. فانظر إلى آثار رحمة الله. Look at the consequences or the results or the effects of the compassion and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look. This is what the Quran is telling you to do. Look at the effects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. كَيْفَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِيَا. How he grants earth that was dead life after it died and there's nothing on it. How he grants it life again. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ. Indeed, that ability that you just witnessed, لَمُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى, is an ability that is capable of bringing back the dead on the Day of Judgment. It will resurrect the dead as well. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. He is capable of all. But this ayah is celebratory. فَانْظُرْ. Look at the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy as it affects the world, and see how a dead piece of land is granted life again. And remember that ability will bring back your life after you die too. And he is capable of all subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell me, that deserves zero votes? No, it's totally worth it. Let's do Luqman 27.
ولو أن ما في الأرض من شجرة أقلام والبحر يمده من بعده سبعة أبحر ما نفدت كلمات الله إن الله عزيز حكيم.
And when they washed my clothes, by the way, they told me to stop yelling, but I didn't listen to that piece. In this ayah, وَلَوْ أَنَّمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, beautiful verse in Surah Luqman, after we hear Luqman alayhi salam talk to his son and give him advice, beautiful advice by the way. I did tafsir of Surah Luqman after Fajr during Ramadan, like on the weekends, as I do always a surah. In 2000 and, 20 or 21 or something, it was at the Wonderland in Fanshawe, where it was just me, Sheikh Imran, and Sheikh Ahmed, and Sheikh Abu Omar, and Brother Khalid. That's it. It was COVID, and all the masajid were closed, so we were playing there. So I think that's where I did Luqman after. So it's a beautiful surah. It's totally worth your time to at least study the pieces of advice that Luqman alayhi salam offered. But in the commentary of that, we have this verse. وَلَوْ أَنَّ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٍ. If every, he said, and indeed, if all the trees on earth were pencils or pens, والبحر يمده من بعده سبعة أبحر, and the ocean was going to be the ink for that pen, supplied by sevenfold oceans. And seven in Arabic means always infinity, because every time you finish the seventh day of the week, time doesn't end, you just start all over again. So that's the usage of seven. So if the bodies of water in the world were the ink for all the trees that were pens, and you had an infinite supply of ink, of أبحر, والبحر يمده من بعده سبعة أبحر ما نفدت كلمات الله. The wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not run out. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not run out. The infinite knowledge and the infinite wisdom would continue. These trees with that ongoing supply of ink would continue to write His knowledge and His wisdom subhanahu wa ta'ala forever. إن الله عزيز حكيم. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the unfathomable, and He's the most wise, Jalla Jalaluhu. There's no end to how much you can learn. This surah talks about the generational relationships. He's telling you, there's a lot of wisdom out there. Allah's wisdom is infinite, it's endless. This is the example He gives, it's endless. If all of the trees on earth were pens and you had an infinite supply of ink, you could write forever and ever and never His wisdom would end. As someone young, learn, ya akhi, a little bit of wisdom. Listen to someone older than you. When they sit and say, don't do this, do that, it's way better. You'll be happier in the long run. Listen to your parents and your grandparents and the people who've lived life. Listen to what they have to say. Wallahi, it's such a waste of life if you don't. There's a lot of wisdom that you don't have access to. Allah's wisdom is infinite, but there's wisdom around you. Access it. That's how you win time. That's how you make sure you do well in your life. You learn from people before you. I find it so abnormal for younger people to be so resistant to listen to their parents, to their fathers and mothers and grandparents, who are offering them advice and they just don't want to hear it. Like, I find it very awkward. Listen, they have wisdom. Even if they don't have a lot of knowledge, they have wisdom. Wisdom comes from experience, doesn't come from books. Maybe you have, you've read a lot of books and you've read more books than your dad did, maybe. Maybe you have more knowledge, maybe, but you don't have more wisdom. You haven't been long enough. You haven't been around here long enough to have it. So listen to those who do. There's a lot of benefit in doing that. All right. Do ayah, we're doing well today, inshallah. 16 of Sajda. 16 of Surah Sajda.
تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا ومما رزقناهم ينفقون.
So we're brought back to this ayah again. Surah Sajda talks to us about the relationships we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the most valuable of all. At the end of the cluster of surahs that talk about relationships and looks at them from different angles, this last one here talks about the relationship we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like every other relationship, if you do not invest in it, it won't grow and it won't survive. This is true for every relationship. Any relationship that you don't invest in will die off. any friend that you don't speak to, a relative that you don't care for, if you don't put in the effort with your spouse, if you don't spend time with your children, if you don't spend time with your parents, those relationships will die off. They'll become useless. They'll become meaningless. They'll become empty. They'll become a burden. There's nothing beautiful in them anymore. They become boring. You sit with the person, you have nothing to say. You don't know what to talk about. If anything comes out of your mouth, it's usually the beginning of a fight or a disagreement or some form of bringing up previous problems or previous conflicts. You want a relationship to work, you have to invest in it. Your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no different. There's no different. If you want a true relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to invest your time. You have to invest your heart into it, or else it will become boring, and it will become timid, and then it'll lose its meaning to you, and then slowly people drift away. When they ask me why can't I, I'm struggling with salah or struggling with staying a strong Muslim, you don't have a good relationship with Allah yet. That's all. Once you do, you'll be fine. Once you build a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that means something to you, something that has profoundness and meaningfulness to you, then you'll be fine. No matter where you're dropped, you can be parachuted anywhere into time or space, you'll still be fine because you have that relationship. This ayah here that we recite every Friday morning in Fajr, in the first rak'ah, almost across the world, almost everywhere. The imam will stand and recite, إِنَّمَا يُؤْمِنُ بِآيَاتِنَا الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهَا خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا. And then they'll go to sujood, and then they'll come back and he'll recite at least one ayah before they do ruku'ah, at least one. And that one ayah is this one. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ. Al-mujafa is when something does not want something else. Al-jafa is when I give you a cold shoulder. Or I avoid speaking to you. Tatajafa, something is avoiding contact with something else. So what is it that's avoiding contact with something else? Junubuhum, their sighs, are avoiding contact with the beds, and al-madaji'a. Their mattresses, they don't want to be on them. Their sides are fighting, they don't want to be on the mattress. Why? يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. They supplicate their Lord. خَوْفًا, in fear of just punishment. وَطَمَعَ, in desire of the reward they were promised. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And whatever we give them, they spend. They give for the sake of Allah. Whatever they have, they put forward for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this phrase, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ, is such a powerful phrase. It's so descriptive. It's like you've been that like way in your life before, where you can't sit. You can't wait for something. Someone's coming, or there's an appointment coming up, or there's something you're going to do very soon, and you're so excited about it, you can't sit. When you were a kid, you felt that. Maybe when you get older, you don't get excited about things as much anymore. But when you were young, you for sure feel that. You can't wait. You can't sit still because of what's coming. You see that passion? That passion? You could have that if you wanted. You can have that passion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where for you, sleep, you need sleep, but you just can't wait because whenever the night sets, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يتجلى إلى السماء الدنيا, He presents Himself to the lowest sky, and He calls upon His servants, and al-Malik, I am the King. من يدعوني فأستجيب له. Who will supplicate me so that I may respond to them? من يستغفرني فأغفر له. Who will seek forgiveness so I may forgive them? من يسألني فأعطيه. Who will ask me and I will answer them? You know that that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing, so you can't help yourself. You want to get up and sit there for a moment and just make dua and speak to Allah and pour your heart out and express your fear and your anxiety and your hopes and your dreams and your pain and stand there and recite His book and enjoy the sound of it coming out of your own mouth and exalt Allah and praise Allah and supplicate and seek forgiveness and enjoy what that's how He felt, alayhi salatu wasalam. Aisha tells us he would be lying in bed waiting. He's waiting for her to sleep. He's waiting for her to fall asleep. They had their night and they're waiting for her to sleep. And she's sitting there not sleeping. So he's getting a little bit anxious. He's getting bored. She's not sleeping. So he'll tell her, هَلْ تَأْذَنِينَ لِي أَنْ أَقُومَ فَأُنَاجِي رَبِّي. Is it okay if I leave and I go and I pray? فَقَالَتْ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ قُرْبَكَ. I'd like you to stay here. As all wives, I want you to stay here in bed. But if that's what you want, go for it. So he'd go, alayhi salatu wasalam, you stand in. That's how he felt. He would be waiting for his wife to fall asleep so she wouldn't bother her and get up and do his salah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجَ. They can't stay still. They want to go up to their Lord. That's a relationship worth having. that's a relationship worth having. Others, I don't know. I don't know if other relations are worth having or not. Let's do Ahzab 23 and we'll end with that, inshallah. Oh, actually, that's okay, good.
من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا.
So in Surah Al-Ahzab, as I explained a little bit, it's going to be a new cluster of surahs that talk about submission and obedience and adherence to his ruling, subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is ta'ah, which is probably the most important thing that we have in our deen. A full group of surahs were dedicated to talk about it. We did tafsir of them in Arabic throughout the last 2 years here in this center. I may do them in English at some point as well. Surah Al-Ahzab is the longest of these surahs. It talks about submission and obedience when it's hard, specifically when it's hard. All of the surah talks about the different types of difficulty, whether they're physical, whether they are social, financial, spiritual, psychological, personal, reputational, whatever they are. It covers like six different types of difficulties. And it gives us examples. The beginning of the surah tells us the story of the battle of the trench, which we'll recite tonight. In the midst of it, or at the end of it, sorry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds people of what happened on the day of Uhud. So he does a little bit of a flashback at the end. قَالَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Amongst the believers, رِجَالٌ, there are people, صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ, they were truthful about that which they accepted the covenant of Allah with. عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ, you took a covenant with God. That covenant being, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu has bought from the believers their soul, their lives, and their wealth, and He will give them Jannah in return. That's the covenant. That's a covenant. He bought and you sold. This is an agreement now. So some of amongst the believers are people, صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ, they were truthful towards their covenant with God. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَ, some of them, they passed away. قَضَى نَحْبَ, they died. It's a figure of speech that means that, they died. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرْ, and there are people who are still waiting, meaning their turn has not come yet. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبَدِيلًا, and they did not change actually anything. بَدَّلَ تَبْدِيلًا, in Arabic, whenever you find the verb followed by the root of the word, it's called maf'ul mutlaq. When it happens, it's always to emphasize that the essence of this action. So baddal means to change things around, to change around the agreement, or change the conditions of the agreement, or change the way you're going to go about this agreement. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبَدِيلًا, they didn't change anything within the agreement. They left it exactly the way it was. Some of them passed, some of them are still standing, waiting their turn whenever it may come. This was to celebrate within the Quran the efforts of the men and women who stood their ground during Uhud and then later on during Al-Khandaq. You can be a part of this ayah, you don't necessarily have to be on the battlefield to do so. You don't have to be on the battlefield. All you have to do is تصدق ما عاهدت الله عليه. صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه. They were truthful to the covenant they had with their Lord. What is the covenant that you have with Allah? What is the covenant? What is the agreement? Part-time? Is it a part-time commitment of some sort? Is it? No. The covenant is all that you got. All your life and all you got for the sake of Allah, you strive and you work towards the betterment of this nation and the wellness of this ummah. That's the covenant. You be truthful to the covenant until you die, until you pass away. This verse talked about the people who passed away early because they died on the battlefield. But many of us won't. The percentage of the ummah that actually died on the battlefield is very, very small. Talking about 1% to 2%. That's it. The rest of the Muslims, no. They can still be truthful towards Allah's covenant. It just requires them to do that for the entirety of their lives. In the Quran, you have two, and you've heard the ayah, وَمَنْ يُطْعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ, right? فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ, those who obey, they'll find themselves yawm al-qiyamah with the people who are taking in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounty, min al-nabiyyin, from the prophets, wal-siddiqeen, wal-shuhada'i wal-salihin. So al-salihin, pious people, people who have piety, people who are good, who did the job. Al-shaheed is a martyr. But who's a siddiq? So this is the differentiation I was taught when I was younger. I love this differentiation. Al-shaheed is the one who died for the sake of Allah. Al-siddiq is the one who lived for the sake of Allah. That make sense? Al-Siddiq is the one who lived his life for the sake of Allah. Lived a long time. Was around for 70, 80, 90 years. Stayed on the track. It's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy to stay the path for that long of a time. That's why Siddiq from Sidq, from the same word that I just used in this verse, صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. They were truthful. They were truthful to the covenant that they gave. So if they stay truthful to the day they die, they'll be called Siddiq, which is why Abu Bakr was called that. Because he accepted this early on, and he was truthful to the end of his life, عَلَيْهِ رَضْوَانُ اللَّهِ. So even though this verse talks about, even though this verse talks about the people who fell on the day of Uhud, you have access to it. It refers to the people who are falling in Palestine and Gaza today. Those who are standing their ground in their land, refusing to leave, refusing to be pushed out of their land again. That is shahada. When you stand, you say, I'm going to live and die here. And if you tear down my house, then that's what's going to happen. I'm not leaving. It's my land. That's martyrism. That's true martyrism. When you refuse to leave your land, then you suffer because of it. So they are falling early. They are honest with their covenant with Allah. They're truthful towards their covenant with Allah. They're dying early. Now it's just about you and I being truthful towards our covenant with Allah. We may live a bit longer. May Allah subhanahu wa grant us the ability to do that. Subhanahu wa bihamdika la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Hold on, another one.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا